that she would not want any of the attention. Too bad, Mom. The imprints left on this earth in your time have measurable rippling effects, the which will be felt for generations to come. You may notice when I walked up here, I was smiling. I just had a tremendous sense of joy for Mom. Even as we were saying the rosary around her as she was passing on, the joy, in particular, it reminds me of the last time I did a eulogy. It was an impromptu at Aunt Kitty's, her little sister's white funeral mass. And we were taking it all in, and, you know, I'm sitting next to Mom. The priest says, anyone with thoughts, come up there. And she elbowed me. And she said, get up there.
And say what?
But such was the innate sense of optimism my mom felt. Anything is possible in grace under fire. You know, hope is founded in God's love. And there's a current bestseller out called The Audacity of Hope. And politics aside, the title does do justice to Mom's life and the life she lived. A small girl growing up in Chicago, Hungarian roots, her father, a railroad executive with the Baltimore and Ohio, would load Mom on the train at the train station and send her on her way out to a summer home in northern Indiana, Gary, Indiana, finding her way on her own in the world early on. Such a Hungarian gypsy sense of adventure and travel and exploration never left her, and, you know, her life spoke of such. Outwardly, one would never see the audacious possibilities she saw in her own and then her children's life. Another first, perhaps, humble audacity. She had the audacity to believe in the 1930s and 40s, after moving to St. Louis with her dad and two younger sisters, that becoming a plastic surgeon was obtainable. It turned out, not for a woman, not in that day, not in that age. Mom had the audacity to tell Dad, I'll be darned if I'm living in your mother's house when we get married, as custom, it was customary, with two other married couples. We're living on our own. And so she had the audacity to break tradition there. And when Dad was called back to service after World War II to fly missions in Korea, Mom had at least the outward audacity to assure him all is fine on the home front, two little girls in tow, the fire still burns. Another six children later would bear truth to her forthcoming word, comforting word. Mom bucked conventional wisdom mid-century and promised St. Louis University Medical School her body upon death. No wake, no funeral, no burial, no way. Yes. The audacity to think that she still had something to give, something to teach here on earth, even after death. You see, her flavor of audacity was directly tied to helping others. To see life without blinders, without borders, boundless possibilities. As Monsignor said, and we've echoed this week, she gave us the world, literally and figuratively. St. Louis is famous for its provincial thinking, to its detriment in many ways. What high schools you go to, where are you from, North County, West County, South County. Mom was bound and determined to have none of this narrow-minded thinking. Mom knew firsthand of an incredible world beyond the fictitious walls of the St. Louis County line. In the 1950s, she was thinking globally and acting locally. She never, ever missed an opportunity to educate, especially if it was free. What? leave Florissant or Normandy to go into the city? Well, she would say, how else could your Cub Scout pack ride on the very last streetcar run in the history of St. Louis? Sled ride at Art Hill, explore every exhibit at the Art Museum and the pre-classes for kids there. Witness in person the progress of the building of the art. See how Switzer licorice is made, or the world's only Corvette automotive plant. While billionaire Howard Hughes was building TWA, Mom was enriching us with summer trips today's Travel Channel could only dream of. Six kids, the very first Chevy van, California to New England, Mariana and Leo had a rolling, singing, rose refrain parade. It was the Sound of Music Von Trapp family meets Barnum and Bailey. We rolled into, say, Yosemite National Park with a borrowed Boy Scout tent that slept, I think, 20. We'd erect this enormous structure, and the sun would disappear from other campers. This was huge. Elephants could probably fit in the thing, and we ate accordingly, as any home movie will show you. In 1967, Mom dialed up the dream by going to work for TWA, Trans World Airlines. 22 countries on 5 continents. And that's just me. Dad to South America for missionary work for the Catholic Church. And she would tell the nuns that we were leaving school for 3 or 4 weeks, and they would balk at it, and she'd say, well, they can either learn it here or go there and live it. We lived it. Mom was fiercely independent and wanted us to be the same. Study and research the destination so the visit would be all the more rewarding. The Sistine Chapel, the Acropolis in Athens, the Eiffel Tower closed at the top on Sundays, and who would know that from an upscale hotel in Rome, perched on the 16th floor balcony, if you did just your best Bob Gibson, you could toss those little soap things into a historic fountain and create a foam mountain Michelangelo. In Australia, she was still teaching us. In Australia, you could flush the toilet water and it goes in reverse, and anything you throw down it goes in reverse as well. You see, the lesson there was gravitational pull of the Earth in the southern hemisphere. All lessons learned at the hands of Mariana Tevlin. Remarkable lessons learned, big and small. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it. It's not that you could never satisfy Mom, pop culture psychobabble aside, but really, what Mom's gift to her children is, you could never overachieve her own expectation of you and belief in you. Once I told my sister Mary and Amy not to stress about it anymore, you know, as far as seeing Mom happy. I moved back from Atlanta, bought our house, and she said, that's fine. So that was it. Conceive it, believe it, and achieve it. Mom had this ability, and I'm not sure how, but she had the ability to make you believe you were the most important thing in her life in the world, even though, you know, all the other kids, all the other family, and I imagine that's how an only child might feel, is they have the right parents. Mom was truly interested in the ever-changing goals, interests, and indeed life you were discovering. One day I wanted to be an NHL goalie, the next a TWA pilot. She believed I could do it. She went to the library, got the books. She loved to read. She loved the library. Quizzed me about the subject. Later on, reading and seeing the stacks of Reader's Digest in the basement. Attention to detail. Nearly everyone here today was surprised at some point by her stunning memory or the depth of care to remember somebody's 30-something birthday, anniversary, or your kid's 17th birthday. Her grandkids might have forgot that they told her about a cheerleader tryout, yet she remembered to ask, inquire. She was genuinely interested. not a superficial inquiry. Faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. The Irish will tell you that the secret to marriage is laughter in the air, a twinkle in the eye, and adoration in the heart. The laughter, the twinkle, the adoration. Dad, you delivered that daily. You delivered it daily. The twinkle and so much adoration. The laughter, the twinkle, the adoration which warmed her soul, fueled her soul, inspired her soul. Now, toward the end, the inner communication skills were something to behold. The great Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, probably would have walked away from the table. Dad said, ah, and rolled her eyes, and that was the end of it. But what was never in question is the ever-present love, faith, family, the energy, faith, and devotion which she brought to this life and light many lives, and the glow of that fire will be felt around the world and has been. The fulfillment of faith. In sharp contrast to these cynical, divisive times we live in, where family, God, and loving traditions are so targeted in the secular world, I wish you all could have witnessed this Tubman family in action. Especially in her dying days, it was a sight to behold. Any of you who have visited or contributed to Mariana's tribute on Tubman.org get a sense of Mom's impact in our family. Thank you, Pete, for your talents. You are a wonder touched by God with developing this site. I couldn't help but quote a hospice social worker toward the end when she said that we could teach a lesson in Family 101. I'm proud of that. We may have created a new term, a living wake. Instead of people coming up to us, all of you, with her wake and telling us what you thought of her, Pete projected emails on the wall. We read them to her and we talked to her. So she lived a living wake. Mom also taught us how to die with peace, at home, in prayer, with love. With Dad and her children holding hands surrounding her as she expired, I thought to myself, this circle of love is home. We may live in other cities, but this circle of love is home. This circle of love is family. It is this circle that best symbolizes Mom. For it's the circle is the first letter of optimism. The shape of the globe is the circle. The connectivity of this family. And for 40 years, fittingly, our address was on Circle Drive. This circle is also the center letter in the word of love. And Dad should love you so much. My earliest memory in life, honest, was the first time I ever saw my smiling, joyful, optimistic mom cry. I was about 4. Our only Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, had been assassinated, a symbol of hope extinguished. Although I could not comprehend the magnitude of the moment, Mom sat me in front of that old black and white, and I saw her wept. I thank you, one and all, for allowing me to represent our family today to you in honoring the life of Mary and Tubman. We are grateful for your presence, patience, and heartfelt prayers we hear them all. I leave you now with perhaps the least quoted line from JFK's inauguration speech, words which echo in the legacy of Mariana Tubman. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history, the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead, asking his blessing, his help, but knowing that here on earth, God and earth must truly be our own.
One of the things I understand about parish life is that anytime we have a baptism or a marriage, a funeral in a parish church, that person becomes part of the fabric, part of the history of that parish. And so for Mariana, she now joins all those folks who have come through these doors of the Annunciata for almost 8 years in terms of the prayers of this parish will always be offered for her. Her husband Leo is a member of two communities, the Carmelite community down the street, our parishioners and sisters, He's there every day at the 7:30, and also part of this community of Annunziata. So I know I speak in the name of the sisters and all those who pray with you daily to know that our prayers for you will be offered every day. I also now know why there are subs at the Vatican Conference. The family would love to visit with all of you. There's a reception in the lower level of our church. There's two ways to enter. You can enter via the doors off to my left, go down the steps, and the restrooms are also down there. Or also, you can go out the front doors and kind of around the front porch of the church and then downstairs. There's also a ramp in case you can't make the stairs to enter that facility. So family, again, would love to continue the celebration of the life of a remarkable woman. She continues her journey of life. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May I ask that you come in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other.
Thanks be to God.
On recessional Sunday.